Hello and welcome to this episode of the J Rod Sports Pod with me, James Robson.
And me, Lee Dix.
So today, Ollie and I are going to be taking a quick look back at the latest news and headlines from the NBA playoffs and then a big look forward to the NFL season ahead. So let's jump straight into the conversation that Ollie and I are having about the NBA and the NFL this week. Right, so Ollie, like the NBA is quite limited now because, I mean, what, there are eight teams left? The blockbuster news, the big news that we've got to talk about is the Milwaukee Bucks, who've been eliminated from the playoffs by the Miami Heat. Lost a series 4-1. Giannis didn't play game 5. And, I mean, we're going to get speculation as to what happens next. You know, will he leave? Will he do a sort of Kevin Durant move and go to a team like the Warriors from a couple of years ago to chase a championship, essentially? What do you think he's going to do?
I honestly don't think he's made his mind up. I think he probably didn't expect this to happen, so I don't think there's a decision that's been made. I think for now, he will continually come out to the media and say, I'm fully committed to the Bucks. I'm going to stay here. Like, I want to build a championship winning team here. Like, all the right answers. But it wouldn't surprise me if someone comes in with a trade and actually he likes the idea of, like, I don't know, like the Clippers, for example, and they can get a big three of Giannis, Paul George, Kawhi. Or even if you send Paul George the other way, Kawhi and Giannis together is pretty formidable. But I think then, like, there are so many, like, I have just then, like, speculated as to all the possibilities. But I wouldn't be surprised if he moved on.
See, I mean, to me, it's like, what's your legacy want to be like? This is a legacy decision. It's,
yeah, 100%.
Do you want to be someone like Kevin Durant, who's an amazing player, but is always kind of criticised for chasing other star players around and going to places that he might win more, you know, more often, as opposed to someone like Dirk Nowitzki, who, you know, stayed in one place for his entire career,
yeah,
but maybe never got the success that he was due.
Would you rather win one with probably a lot of failure around your career, but stay with one team and almost be a hero there, or play for two or three different teams, win somewhere between 3 and 5 rings, but always have that idea of, oh, what he chased, like, he was like, always needed help and all that kind of, those kind of critics?
I value the loyalty a lot.
I think unless you're someone like, I mean, it's only really LeBron who could ever be, and Kobe, I suppose, but never seemed to be that serious, like a conversation as to comparison to Michael Jordan. I think unless you're those guys, like, you stay. I think chasing, unless you need to, like, more rings basically to legitimize your conversation or your argument as to who the GOAT is, I think that's the only reason you do it.
Yeah. Okay, moving on then to the Toronto Raptors, who won game 6 against the Boston Celtics in a second overtime, forcing a game 7. We did call this was going to 7, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. So pat on the back there.
Yeah. But it was just that, you know, there, you get those games where both teams deserve to win and it was unlucky that it was a draw.
Yeah.
This was a situation where both teams deserve to lose.
In regular time, this was awful.
Yeah. And they're lucky that it was a draw and, you know, someone has to pull something out of the bag to win it.
And that was Kyle Lowry. We've had conversations where we feared that when the Raptors were in a spot and they needed someone to step up, with Kawhi now not there, who would do it? Lowry did, and as a Raptor, kind of, I think he is that, he might go down as the greatest Raptor ever, because, you know, you've had Vince Carter there and DeMar DeRozan, but they never stayed there for long. Kyle Lowry has been there for a very long time, and I think, you know, there were talks of potentially a Lowry statue, and I think, you know, that might be deserved one day. Game 7,
I've got to pick the Raptors.
Do you think?
Yeah.
the small momentum and the like hope and faith that got them.
Yeah, there. And we've said that momentum doesn't really mean much in bubble basketball, but I just think when it comes down to it, that playoff experience and that finals experience will shine through, even though they've lost their star.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if the Raptors won, but I am
committed. You pick the Celtics.
I'm committed to that, and I will stick to my guns and stay with the Celtics.
Okay, then the Clippers won game four. So they're now 3-1 up against the Denver Nuggets in the series. And it seems that the Clippers have played this bubble very well, in that they've played themselves into form at the right time.
Yeah, I mean, I think each game we see the Clippers play like their full team. Like we spoke about at the start of the bubble, like they'd only played like their full strength starting lineup like 13 games in the regular season. So like we hadn't seen that. And that seems to be more and more convincing like when we see these. However, in game three, Kawhi scored no points in the fourth quarter and they lost to the Nuggets. So actually, like, there's still quite a bit of inconsistency there, and I still think whilst they're becoming more and more convincing, I still don't think there's necessarily an encouraging amount of consistency there with the Clippers, but promising that if they can finish this off in five, I think that's very good.
Yeah, I can't see them not winning this series.
There's no way they lose three out of the next four games.
Yeah. And speaking of someone that we think is probably painted on to move on to the next round, the Lakers won game three against the Rockets. They're now 2-1 up. It's hard to see the Lakers losing three out of four. But, I mean, you never know with that Rockets team.
Yeah, I mean, it's so streaky. The one thing that they seem to have gotten, and that's Rajon Rondo. And they, you know, a lot of social media talks about playoff Rondo, like, is it a thing? They seem to, their defense forces the Rockets to look quite chaotic. And it's very, like, panicky. The moves you'd see Harden do, like, they're double teaming. So, like, one in front and then one behind, so he can't step back. You saw Rondo get a few steals because of that. And it looks like they've really done their homework on limiting this Rockets offense, and I think, like, fair play to the Lakers, like it took them a game to kind of get going, but they look good when their matchups are there. They look good, and it'll be very interesting to see how quickly or how slowly this series finishes.
LeBron gonna get MVP?
I think he always deserves it, and you know, we kind of have become a bit like used to all these records going, like he now has the most playoff wins in NBA history, and that didn't really get celebrated. It was just like, oh, another record from LeBron. I think before Giannis was knocked out of the playoffs, I was accepting that he would win. I think now it almost looks quite bad on the NBA if he wins, and it wouldn't surprise, and I hope that LeBron does, because I think a lot of people have come and been like, or Giannis is the best player in the league, Kawhi is the best player in the league, Durant's the best player in the league, and actually LeBron has always been the best player in the league still, and we're just prisoner of the moment sometimes.
I feel like Giannis puts a team on his back, LeBron elevates the team to his level.
Yeah, I think the thing for me, when you always talk about MVPs and why LeBron should always win, you should always look at the teams that he has been on, the season before he went there, whilst he was there, and the season after. Because they lose a lot of games when he's not there. He moves. They win the games, often appear in the finals. The year after he leaves, they're atrocious. And you know, that's how it works.
Okay, so moving on to the NFL then. And we're going to break this down in a bit of an interesting way. So we're going to have a look at all of the first round of games that's going to be happening this week, and then right at the end we're going to chat through each of these games, but then right at the end we're going to do a quick run through of each of the divisions within the conferences and just say, you know, who we think is going to come first, second, third, and fourth in each division. So obviously we've got the Chiefs and the Texans tonight, the Kansas City Chiefs against the Houston Texans. We talked about this briefly in our podcast on Tuesday. So if you haven't heard that yet, go back and listen to it. We're not going to cover it again because by the time this comes out, we'll know who the winner was. Okay, a big AFC East game to start. The Buffalo Bills against the New York Jets, Ollie.
Yeah, I mean, the Bills have... I think we forget about how much they've done in the offseason. We spoke about Tre'Davious White and them securing that kind of that defense up. And they also, you know, have Stephon Diggs there now from the Vikings. And I think it's a Bills team that actually needs to be successful this year to kind of prove that they're relevant still.
And a Jets team I don't think has got that much better.
No, I think that Jets team still seems quite dysfunctional to me. So I think the Bills win.
Okay. The Minnesota Vikings against the Green Bay Packers. I mean, what a game. Two powerhouse franchises to start us off here.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that Vikings defense looks as good as it always does. But I have... We are both fans of the Pat McAfee show. And the more I see Aaron Rodgers on there, the more I like him. I think I always didn't favour him because they always compared him and Brady together, and I am a Brady fan. But now, like, I'm a huge fan of Aaron Rodgers, and I think the Packers go far this year.
Yeah, and I think he's, you know, there are people that lockdown hasn't suited, and there are people that lockdown has suited, and despite the fact they drafted Jordan Love, it strikes me that Aaron Rodgers has not done badly out of this lockdown.
No, I think he said this is the first time his arm hasn't hurt in 16 years.
Which is significant when your job is to throw.
Yeah.
Okay, next up we've got the Washington football team against the Philadelphia Eagles. This is a bit of an interesting one here. I'm probably going to have to lean towards the Eagles. But
it's classic NFC East, isn't it?
Yeah, but that Washington team, it is one of those things, they're a completely unknown quantity because there's so much that's gone on. And it's one of those things that could have been a massive distraction or a massive bonding force.
I think we forget that how much time actually Ron Rivera would have had with this team. And I think I trust him and what he's done with many teams, especially the Panthers. And I do think that that Washington football team will be better than it was.
And than people think it will be.
Yeah. But I don't know how much better that actually is.
True.
But pick one.
I'm saying Philadelphia.
Okay, I'll go Washington then.
Okay, I don't think we're going to disagree on this next one.
No.
The Baltimore Ravens against the Cleveland Browns.
We both think the Browns, yes?
No. We both think the Baltimore Ravens. I mean, Lamar Jackson is it's tough because if Patrick Mahomes wasn't here, I'd say he was a generational talent.
Yeah. I think he still is.
I think he...
But probably not as extreme as we would perhaps think, like you said.
Yeah, not as stark. I mean, that Cleveland Browns team, I think, will be significantly better than they were last year. I really like the people they've got in charge there now, the head coaching of Kevin Stefanski and everything that's going on there. But I just don't think they're going to be enough for Baltimore.
I think they've got a lot of players there that are in, like, prove-it years, and I think that pressure will build and they will end up crumbling. I think last year we expected the Ravens to win it all at times. They didn't. I think this year there'll be, like, a bit of a vendetta to make the point that, okay, like, we can stand on the same, like, level as the Chiefs.
Okay, and then... another game that I'm 100% confident that we will agree on.
Yes.
Jacksonville Jaguars will lose.
Yes.
To the Indianapolis Colts.
No jokes this time.
No jokes. I think this is potentially the closest that we will see to a fully defeated season since the Cleveland Browns last did it 2 or 3 years ago. But I think, like, this is potentially one of the most outclassed teams I've seen in a while. And a team that I can't get my head around the decisions that are being made.
No, this last year at the start of the season, we had a lot of conversations about whether Alabama would beat Miami, like Alabama college football team would beat Miami, a professional football team. This year, this Jags team is worse than that Miami team, I think.
And in a situation where I don't trust
someone like Brian Flores.
I mean,
we trust Brian Flores. We don't trust
Doug Marone.
Yeah, in Jacksonville to... Not necessarily Doug. I think the GM is where, and the owners are where the decisions are being made. I think
they've got Tom Coughlin there, which is such a weird... So it's like, why are they not well-drilled? But they're just not.
No. How few... Do you think they go defeated?
I think they might win one.
Late on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, kind of like people resting players.
Yeah, no, that's fair. And obviously... Indianapolis moved on from Andrew Luck and Jacoby Brissett of recent, and have now invested their you know, near future in Philip Rivers. Do you back that to be a success, or are you still a bit unsure as to what kind of Rivers you'll get?
I'm not unsure. I actually kind of the opposite. I'm not unsure as to what kind of Rivers I'm going to get. I'm unsure as to whether the supporting cast is good enough to get the best out of him. That's what we've always said about Philip Rivers. He's, in some ways, his talent has always been too good for the people around him. And consistently, he's been one of the top 10 quarterbacks in the league without other people to do any of it for him.
Yeah, and the results to show that.
Yeah. So I think he will be a success. Whether Indy will be a success is not down to him.
The big thing that I see there is the offensive line of Indy is...
Second to none.
Yeah. And I, when we say second to none, we mean second to none.
I think it's. I think it might be Indy and Dallas are the two
maybe the
49ers,
but we're going down a scary road here.
Yeah.
But I think that increases like Rivers' longevity there and their potential to be successful. But I don't think it's like, I think it's like wild card successful.
But a big week one victory to get him starting.
Yeah, 100%.
Okay, the Carolina Panthers against the Oakland Raiders. Teddy Bridgewater has come up from a successful spell as the backup to Drew Brees in New Orleans. And obviously Carolina have moved on from Cam Newton, who we'll get onto in a minute. I like this fit, and I don't think... I mean, Oakland have always been a dysfunctional organisation, and I don't trust them to have got through a particularly trying time in a particularly functional manner.
No, I agree. However, this is the most confident I think I've ever been in an Oakland team. I think Derek Carr is sometimes heavily criticised when actually statistically he... is quite good, I think. He's not awful, maybe. And I think having someone like Henry Ruggs there drafted, I think he's going to be an absolute superstar.
Sensation.
Yeah, 100%. And I think that actually since they lost Amari Cooper, they've not really like bounced back as a receiving core like to build on something like that with Derek Carr. And I think he might be someone who turns that around.
So you're going Raiders and I'm going Panthers there.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
I mean, I've got to really, haven't I?
Yeah, there you go. Okay, the Detroit Lions against the Chicago Bears. Mitchell Trubisky, who would have thought?
I think the focus will be entirely on him.
Yeah.
I want it to be about more. I worry about the Lions. I don't think I've... ever had much confidence in the Lions and feel very sorry for Matt Patricia that's where his head coaching role started and will probably end. But I think Trubisky will be under so much pressure now to perform.
And I think that will come back to haunt him. I back Detroit.
Really?
Yeah.
You like your man AP?
Yeah. I mean, if you've got someone like Adrian Peterson there, what you've got is a leader.
Yeah.
And that is what that organisation needed.
Yeah. Someone as a player.
Yeah.
No. I would like... So I'm not someone who ever wishes someone to not be successful. So I want Trubisky to make good of it because obviously he does deserve success in some ways. I don't know how successful he's going to be there.
So I'm picking Detroit.
Right, okay, well, there we go. I'll go Bears. Okay. Trubisky for 400 yards, 4 touchdowns, no interceptions. Could you imagine?
No, I can't. okay, the Atlanta Falcons against the Seattle Seahawks. And a Seattle team that have just signed Josh Gordon again and Russell Wilson came off in his top 3 seasons of all time.
Yeah, I think we forget how good this Seahawks team was last year.
Yeah.
And how unfortunate they were to not be like in a better position going to the playoffs. I think it was like the last drive of the last game that decided whether it was them or the 49ers that were the one seed in their NFC. And I think they will be even better this year.
And an Atlanta team that's, I mean, if we're being brutally honest, has looked out of sorts since they lost in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I don't think they've ever truly recovered from that, and I don't think they possibly know how to, and they've probably started to, I would say they've wasted Matt Ryan's like best years.
Yeah. So we're both picking Seattle.
Yes.
And obviously now we get to the most unbiased of our picks. The New England Patriots against the Miami Dolphins. And a marriage that's, if you believe what you hear, has been made in heaven between Cam Newton and Bill Belichick.
Yeah, I mean, it's the kind of relationship I don't think we ever thought we would see. And I think it's probably been quite refreshing for Bill. And it's been quite enjoyable for Cam to put his stamp on somewhere new. And I put in these notes for us today. I honestly believe this. I think Cam Newton will be MVP.
Oh, that's a massive claim. I think he will have an MVP caliber season. Whether that means he is the MVP, I'm not sure. Because when you pay someone $500 million like they have to Patrick Mahomes, I mean.
But like that's what we now come to expect of Mahomes. I think we like stories as sports fans and as voters. We like stories. And actually, I think everyone is probably rooting now for Cam Newton to be successful. It's just a shame it's on the Patriots.
Could you imagine the fact that Cam Newton has been paid $1 million to play for the Patriots? And Patrick Mahomes being paid $500 million to play for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, I mean, you have taken that slightly out of context. Mahomes, that is a 10-year deal. Newton's is a 1-year deal. What I must ask you is, the Patriots have never enjoyed playing the Dolphins. Ever. And that Dolphins team we saw towards the end of last year was improving. They've then added some very, very good players
from the Patriots.
Yeah, and you know that defense looks especially good and secure. Arguably one of the top cornerback groups in the league. Do you think like the Patriots struggle in any way?
Yeah, I think they struggle, but I think eventually they will get a breakthrough that they need. And I think the Patriots will win probably by a touchdown.
I think there might be some, I'm going to go with the word teething problems. And I think that this isn't an offense that actually is that potent from the Patriots. I agree that Cam is very, very good and Edelman's there. But other than that, I don't have much confidence in anyone else there. And I think the Dolphins could cause them some problems.
Fair enough. Okay, then the Cincinnati Bengals against the Los Angeles Chargers. Joe Burrow is making his debut. And
number one pick.
The number one pick of the NFL draft. Is that a turning point for Cincinnati?
I think it might be, you know. I think what we've seen like from him in training is that he's almost taken that LSU like dog kind of mindset, like almost like we them boys. And I think that's almost the light and the bit of the lift that Cincinnati needed. And Whether that translates onto the field is obviously we'll have to see. But I think Cincinnati will be better than they were last year, definitely.
It needed to look like it was fun.
Yeah.
And it for the last couple of years, as good as Andy Dalton is, didn't look like it was fun.
No.
LA Chargers, obviously the one of the two subjects of Hard Knocks. I think they're going to struggle out of the gates. And I think we're going to see Justin Herbert quite quickly. But it'll be a Tyrod Taylor game. And I just don't think Tyrod Taylor's talent is enough to get the Chargers over the line.
I think Taylor will have a breakout year.
Really?
I think he's...
But we've said that, like...
He's someone who's had, like... And is probably one of few guys that is worthy of having a massive chip on his shoulder. And I think he's massively underrated. He's massively, like, forgotten about and, like, just not considered as an elite quarterback in the NFL. And I actually think he, now that he has his team, I get there's a pressure from Herbert, Air Bear, however you might want to call him. But I think Taylor will prove some critics wrong this year.
I'm going for Joey Burrow.
Really?
Yeah.
Think the Bengals win?
Yeah.
1-0.
Yeah. Could you imagine?
Yeah, no.
Okay. Super Bowl losers, the 49ers, against the San Francisco 49ers against the Arizona Cardinals. Obviously, the big news coming out of Arizona is that DeAndre Hopkins negotiated his own extension for a 2-year, $54 million deal. So he's with the Cardinals now for the next 5 years. I think this could be the upset of the first round, you know. I think Arizona could come out absolutely flying.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I think they're some real dark horses in the NFC, Arizona. I think, look, Kyler was Rookie of the Year last year. And the more he plays in the NFL, I think the more he's going to just tear defenses apart. And with someone like Hopkins lining up outside, I think it only improves Kyler Murray. And yeah, I'm really excited to see what Cliff Kingsbury does with that Cardinals thing.
Because it won't be down the middle. No. Like, it won't be plain, simple football. No. It'll be something that no one has ever thought about.
Yeah, 100%. Do you worry about any kind of hangover for the 49ers? Do you think, like we saw with the Falcons, like, once you lose, it is so much harder to then bounce back and go again, whereas when you're on a bit of a high from a win, then, like, it's easier to keep going?
No, I don't worry for the 49ers, because I think the way they lost was a way, it was slightly different to the
Falcons.
They didn't really capitulate.
Do you think the Chiefs won it than the 49ers lost it?
Whereas when the Falcons lost it, they lost it.
Yeah.
But yeah, both going Cardinals, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, so then we're moving on to the New Orleans Saints against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now, this is the first game in 74 that Tom Brady isn't favoured. The last time this happened was 2015 that he was the underdog.
Yeah.
And I think for good reason, because I think this Bucs team has been hyped up so much and there's been so much change. I think they'll be there at the end. And if this was a week 16 game or a week 17 game, I would probably be backing Tampa Bay. But it's week one. Drew Brees hasn't thrown much, so his arm's still as strong as it can be.
He even said himself he's on borrowed time.
I think New Orleans pull this out of the bag.
I reckon Tampa goes undefeated.
The whole season.
16-0, here we go.
Oh, God.
Brady finally does what he couldn't do in, was it 2007?
No, they went 16-0.
Yeah, I know, but he didn't win the Super Bowl.
You're fully on the train, aren't you?
Yeah. How can you not be on the train? It's so exciting. It's literally a super team.
It is.
This is the first time in the NFL we've truly had an NBA kind of theme team, where it's literally like, oh, I'll come out of retirement and play. We'll go and get a okay, an average running back from Jacksonville on like as a free agent, you get like the best player ever. You know, this is like, this is exciting. This is great stuff, and I think it's great for the NFL. And yeah, I'm all aboard. Choo choo.
Yeah, I'm a bit of a cynic about that.
You're just bitter. Yeah. I hope one day you're not bitter. And it was all Bill's fault.
I doubt it. Right, moving on to the LA Rams against the Dallas Cowboys then.
The Rams, some news for the Rams. Jalen Ramsey is now the highest paid cornerback in NFL history as he signed a 5-year, $105 million extension with the Rams.
And they've got no money.
I don't know where this has come from, like money-wise, because they were cutting almost everybody. What it does say is that the cornerback market is just... It gets reset.
It's a good time to be a cornerback.
It's a very good time to be a cornerback. And it gets reset every single time.
I think the Rams win this. I just think there's too much uncertainty around Dak Prescott. And I think that has to affect... That can't not affect you.
Do you think he's past the point of like having a prove-it year? This is now a bit of a... Like, almost the air's come out of the balloon a little bit.
I mean, he's not going to be willing to run. He's not going to be willing to put himself in those situations where he's trying to win at all costs, because he's not in that. He's stay healthy at all costs so I can get to free agency if you're not going to sign me.
Do you think we see Andy Dalton at any point?
If Dak...
What do you think Dak... How bad do you think Dak has to be for them to bring Andy Dalton in? Like, because they're paying Andy Dalton, like, good money. So I feel like they expect him to...
No, I don't.
At some point, surely.
I don't think we see Dak. I don't think we see Andy Dalton at all.
Really?
No.
Well, what I must say is it CD Lamb? Who's at the Cowboys?
Yeah.
I think that Cowboys offense is, on paper, arguably one of the best ones in the NFL.
I just can't.
Their defense, I have no trust in them.
I just can't get over the fact that they have one in. I mean, I don't think I was even alive when they last won.
No.
But yeah, I think LA probably get this one. Okay, the New York Giants against the Philadelphia, not the Philadelphia, the New York Giants against the Pittsburgh Steelers. First time that we're going to see Joe Judge and his, you know, his spin on the New York Giants.
Yeah.
And I like what he's been doing. Like there was that cool footage of him doing special teams drills with the team, you know, diving on a wet ball in a puddle, just getting hyped with everyone. Like that could be an atmosphere that New York needed, but
like it might be finally fun to play for the Giants.
Yeah, but I think Ben Roethlisberger looks to be all the way back.
Yeah,
and
with a vengeance.
He's another one of those older quarterbacks that I'm not going to bet against.
That's interesting. I think the only way that the Giants are successful this year is if they're in the NFC East, and by golly, are they in the NFC East? And I think that their schedule will be quite favourable, and I think they'll do all right, and it wouldn't surprise me if they win the NFC East.
There we go. And the last game that we've got to look at is the Denver Broncos against the Tennessee Titans. The Broncos lost... their absolute stud Von Miller for the entire season this week. So, it's not just without a leader on the field. This is a leader off the field for the organisation. And obviously, you know, when you lose someone like that, it's very difficult to recover from that. And I actually think that the Titans are ponying up to be a really formidable team. And I think they're going to walk this one.
Really? I think that's the thing. Like, there is so much uncertainty about the Broncos. We don't know how they are going to be and how successful they're going to be and how good they're going to be. So actually, it is such an unknown. And what we need to figure out with the Titans is actually, does Derrick Henry carry them from an entire season? Because that was the only reason they were good at the end of the last year, is nobody could figure out how to stop Derrick Henry. I assume a lot of defensive coordinators have gone away this summer and spent a lot of time as to thinking, right, how do you stop an absolute giant from running the ball. And it will be very interesting to see, actually, do the Broncos have any idea? Because we always associate the Broncos with defense.
Okay, and now our last sort of quick fire lightning round to the NFL then. We're just going to go through the four divisions in each conference and very quickly give us, you know, 1, 2, 3, and 4 for each one. So I'll read them all out. Ollie will give his answer and then I'll give my answer. Okay, so let's start with the AFC North then. So we've got the Cleveland Browns, the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Cincinnati Bengals, and the Baltimore Ravens.
Okay, Ravens, Bengals, Steelers, Browns.
Wow.
I'm going controversial here. I'm going out on a limb. I must warn all the listeners that all of these will be some sense and then the rest controversy.
Okay. I'm going Ravens, Steelers, Browns, Bengals.
Interesting.
Okay, the AFC South. We've got the Tennessee Titans, the Jacksonville Jaguars, the Indianapolis Colts, and Houston Texans. One of the harder divisions I think we've got here.
Yeah, Titans, Colts, Texans, Jaguars.
I think the Houston Texans, the Tennessee Titans, the Indianapolis Colts, and the Jacksonville Jaguars.
You back Bill O'Brien.
I back Deshaun Watson.
And who else?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, the AFC East, the New England Patriots, the Miami Dolphins, the Buffalo Bills, and the New York Jets.
Bills, Patriots, Dolphins, Jets.
You call yourself a Patriots fan.
Yeah, but...
Patriots, don't Patriots, trust. Patriots, don't care. No. The Patriots, the Dolphins, the Bills, and the Jets.
Really? You think the Dolphins in have a order. Better year than the Bills?
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Okay, and the AFC West, the Kansas City Chiefs, the Denver Broncos, the Oakland Raiders, and the Los Angeles Chargers.
I mean, this is the Chiefs in first, and then roll your dice, lucky dip for the other three.
I think the Chiefs in first, the Chargers in second, the Broncos in third, and the Raiders in fourth.
Interesting. I mean, I don't argue with it, but...
Okay, the NFC North now. The Detroit Lions, the Green Bay Packers, the Chicago Bears, and the Minnesota Vikings.
The Packers, the Bears, the Vikings, the Lions.
Oh my goodness.
Based on Kirk Cousins saying, if I get corona, if I die, I die.
I'm saying
you can't trust that to be your leader.
No, you can't. I'm saying, but well, I am though. Okay. I'm saying the Green Bay Packers, the Minnesota Vikings, the Detroit Lions, and then Chicago Bears.
That's interesting, that is.
Okay, the NFC South. Let's go with Carolina Panthers, New Orleans Saints, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and Atlanta Falcons.
The undefeated Bucs, followed by the Saints, Panthers, Falcons.
I think the Saints, the Bucs, then the Panthers, then the Falcons.
I think we all agree that Falcons team is not,
it is not going to be great. Featuring.
And the Panthers, well, that's not great either.
No. Okay, the NFC East, which is, as always, a powerhouse division. The New York Giants, the Washington Football Team, the Philadelphia Eagles, and the Dallas Cowboys.
It's like picking something out of a bin and going, yeah, that's what I want to eat.
Yeah.
I think the Cowboys, the Giants, Washington, the Eagles.
Ah, for the first time we've agreed.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow. That's quite hard when it comes to this division.
Yeah. I think it's because I heard those names in order and I was like, okay. Okay, and then the last one, a difficult one, this. The NFC West. We've got the Seattle Seahawks, the Arizona Cardinals, the San Francisco 49ers, and the Los Angeles Rams.
So the Seahawks in one, the Cardinals in two. Oof. I think, yeah, as it is, the 49ers in three and the Rams in four.
I am going to go... here we go. Cardinals in one, Seahawks in two, 49ers in three, Rams in four.
Oh, wow.
Okay, and very, very super early. Way too early.
Yeah, the Bucks.
I'm going to say your NFC Championship game.
Oh, wow. Okay. I think
the Seahawks and the Bucks. Or the Packers and the Bucks.
Interesting. I'm going to say Packers Saints.
Right.
And your AFC Championship game?
The Chiefs and the Ravens. I think it's really hard to pick against those two.
I'm going to say Patriots Chiefs. Well, you think Cam Newton's going to have an MVP? You're going to be the MVP.
So.
Okay, and so your 16. Super Bowl and your Super Bowl winner.
My Super Bowl will be. Can I just say either Seattle or Green Bay? No, because I think the Bucks will get through the NFC, and they will beat the Baltimore Ravens.
Interesting. I think the Kansas City Chiefs will beat the Green Bay Packers in the Super Bowl.
You think? Oh, very interesting. I wouldn't have picked you to pick the Packers beating the Saints in the NFC.
Right, so there we go, folks. Thank you very much for listening to this episode of the J Rod Sports Pod. As always, we've got our tour pods coming out every evening through the Tour de France, and the Formula One pod, which is coming out on Wednesday next week after the Mugello Grand Prix. But until then, please be a friend and tell a friend about the J Rod Sports Pod.